This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Vinny and Haney, two opposites attracted by a paycheck. 105.7 The Fan.
Yeah, we're not worried about, you know, what happened last week. It's all about moving forward this week, getting prepared, staying prepared. When I'm ready to get in, it's my time. I'll go do what I got to do and make plays.
You know, we kept those in-house. We had those conversations. And one thing I say about Marcus is the way he handled what went down is great, man. And he's just a great teammate. He's been a pro since he's been here. He handled last week like a pro. My answer would be like, you know, everything doesn't, you know, even though you put in the work, everything doesn't come together as fast as you may want it to. All you can do is continue to grind, continue to chase perfection, and continue to work at it. And that's what we're doing. And we know that the work that we're putting in, we know that attention to detail that we're doing is going to pay off. I honestly, truly believe that with the coaches and the players that we have, it's going to come together, and it's going to come together at the right time, and it's going to be big for us. Yeah, it's frustrating. Obviously, you know, we expect to make those plays. I mean, it's National Football League. We look at interceptions when they throw right in our hands like a free throw in basketball. You got to make those.
Well, it all depends who's shooting them free throws, too. Zach Orr. And I'm getting a chair adjusted here on this Featured Artist Friday. Reveal coming up in a couple of minutes. But we heard from the defensive coordinator, Baltimore Ravens, talking about a couple of subjects that have been probably the top stories of the week when it comes to his defense, and maybe the injuries now on the defensive line could be bigger when it's all said and done with Denver looming. But the dropped interceptions. Yeah, you got to make them. You got Rick Barry at the line. He's making it. Calvin Murphy, Steph Curry, me. What's going in? Nolan. Nolan, you good free throw shooter or no?
Not at all.
Okay.
At least no chance.
Own it. It's all that matters. A couple of people do sports talk for a living. I'd pay to watch try to shoot a free throw, but that's another story for another day. But Shaq Attack, Wilt Chamberlain, Chris Dudley, shooting free throws, you know they're misses. He's saying with his DBs, you got to make the free throws. So what are you saying? You got a bunch of Chris Dudleys back there in the secondary? Zach Orr? Or do you have a bunch of Rick Barrys? And I thought that Kyle Hamilton was a Rick Barry. But he Shaq attacked it. He dropped it three times. If you watch the replay, and quite frankly, I'm sick of watching it, but we've seen it multiple times. Had it, dropped it, had it, dropped it, had it, dropped it. It hit his shoulders, his knees. It was like the old song, knees, shoulders, heads, and toes. It hit every part of his body, but he eventually dropped it. But normally, he makes the play. Eddie Jackson, all right, rough day at the office. Darius Washington, already short. If that's an excuse, I don't really buy it. Ball hits you in the hands. I catch it, I think. The old adage, if you could catch, you'd be a wide receiver, not a defensive back. Get that, too. Ed Reed caught him most of the time. We are talking about a Hall of Famer, though. Get it. But Marcus Williams used to catch those. Yeah, a ton of picks in New Orleans. Looked really good early in his Ravens career, which is 2 years in now. Now coming off the bench. Problem with Marcus Williams has been He's never been around the football enough to drop an interception. So Zach Orr, I guess, is saying we have the guys to hit these free throws or make the picks. It's got to execute. It's as simple as that. Can they do it? I don't know. This year, they lead the NFL in dropped interceptions. And for Lamar Jackson last week, wide receivers didn't do him any favors either in a couple of instances. So ball hits the ground, and Nolan, you brought this up yesterday, very reminiscent of the Steelers' loss last year there, where Andrews and Bateman, everyone with a Ravens uniform couldn't hold on to the football, turned into an L. I think a similar thing happened on Sunday.
Right, and you're just hoping that you get similar results as last year where they, you know, move on from that quickly and end up having a fantastic second half of the season. But there really doesn't appear to be any rhyme or reason behind the drops. And unlike last year where it seemed to be confined to just that one game, if we're talking about the defensive side of things with the Ravens this year, it hasn't been just one game. This has been a season-long issue. So if you want to compare it to last year to make yourself feel better, I think that'd be a little mistaken, but it does feel like that game a lot.
Now, Marcus Williams, it looks like, as you said yesterday, Nolan will play on Sunday, and we heard the opening cut of the show that he's anticipating getting in. Didn't say he was starting. When I'm called upon, I'll be ready to rock and roll and all of the fun stuff that goes along with it. And if he's not motivated now, I don't know what it takes to be motivated. Feelings probably hurt, disrespected to some level based on his status previously as a player. I mean, do you go out there and pout and whine, or do you go out there and make plays and reestablish trust in your coaching staff here?
I mean, if this is going to be the moment, or if last week was kind of the wake-up call for him that turns things around, then so be it. I'm not really sure what was going on in the first place. It was one of the more puzzling things about the team just in general. The fact that, you know, he was out there, but you would forget that he was out there. It was almost like they were playing with 10 guys on defense instead of 11. That's how out of the picture he was, literally and figuratively. So was that the spark he needed? Perhaps. Still, like you said, no confirmation that he is the starter. But like I was harping on yesterday, I don't know how you can confidently put other guys ahead of him after what you saw happen in Cleveland last week. I'm not telling you Marcus Williams is Ed Reed or he's fantastic or even a Pro Bowler, but he's got to be better than what you saw last Sunday. And if you're paying him all that money, you can't have that stand on the sideline.
And he has been better than what we saw last Sunday. Hell, Eddie Jackson's been a Pro Bowler himself during his Chicago days. It was just a debacle all the way around. But if we look at the stats, and we will later in the show, their pass defense, Baltimore, has been a debacle all season long. Even with Nate Wiggins and Marlon Humphrey and Kyle Hamilton, Marcus Williams, name a guy on the roster, on the field, they're last in pass defense. And they give up tons of big plays. So I don't think it's all on Marcus Williams. I mean, everyone's culpable in that area, I would think.
No, 100%, from coaching on down. And we talked about it all week, just the way they played against the Browns, uncharacteristic for them. And Vinny was even speculating as to Dean Pease's involvement. Just because watching the game, it felt very Dean Pease-esque. Guys playing soft coverage, off their man, more zone. It didn't work. Did they revert back to playing man again? But even that wasn't working. Is it the better of the two options? I would say with confidence, yes. But it's not like they're one easy fix away from being last year's defense.
And I'm just a guy with a microphone, a fan. I'd rather see Brandon Stevens draped all over a guy making a hell of a catch than him 5 yards off having to chase and hope he can bring him down within, you know, 20 yards.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because last week, Brandon Stevens was way off coverage, playing soft, as you said. I mean, usually he is kind of in your grill and on you like a Brandon Stevens suit. He's just been unfortunate in certain areas to not make plays, But there are other times where the opposing receiver just makes a hell of a play. Terry McLaurin, Devontae Adams, et cetera, et cetera.
And I think you can directly link that to the Ravens' defense being so unsuccessful getting off the field on third down. I mean, that's been a huge issue for them this year. They aren't doing the best job forcing a lot of third and long situations, but even if they did find themselves, you know, third and eight to third and 10, you're thinking, all right, one play, we'll get off the field, force a punt. That hasn't been a sure thing. The soft coverage, that's where you're giving up easy chunk yardage. I mean, they're just trying to get to the sticks, the opposing offense. And by the time they catch the ball, they're already, you know, 2-3 yards away from that, and you're 5 yards away. So got to tighten up a little bit. It all works together. I'm not confident we're going to see wildly different results on Sunday, but I'm hopeful.
Rookie quarterback Bo Nix, however, was named the Rookie of the Month offensively in the NFL yesterday. Now, the pass defense, or lack thereof, has been a season-long story, but Lamar Jackson hasn't practiced in 2 days. So this is a current, is it an urgent story? I don't know. We'll find out later today. Ravens play Sunday and then next Thursday against Cincinnati. Got to be banged up to some level, I would think, if he hasn't practiced in a couple of days. And we're going back to John Harbaugh saying it was a rest. I believe the words rest day were in there, and on injury report, knee and a back. He didn't practice yesterday. Not DEFCON 1 in it, but I'm in DEFCON, maybe 5 right now, heading into today's practice.
I'm with you. Yeah, and Vinny
would be... 1 apparently is the worst DEFCON that there is.
Whatever's the worst one, we're not there yet, but we're in the conversation. Anytime you're starting quarterbacks out for multiple days, it does raise some eyebrows. I think Vinny made a good point yesterday. This isn't the first time this season that Lamar has had a rest day during the week. I believe earlier in the year, maybe following that Dallas game where they just had to grind it out late. They were running the ball a ton to try to kill the clock. And Lamar had a rest day early in that week, but it was just the one. Now this is a little bit different. It's two. They have to have an injury designation. There's got to be some reason on the report. So it's back and knee. How serious is that? I don't know. Also stinks that we don't get to hear from Harbaugh yesterday and the coordinators. Coordinators don't comment on the status of the players either, so we're totally left in the dark until this afternoon.
I'm going to lean towards questionable will be his designation when the report comes out. Later today, it's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. Vinny's off today. He'll be back on Monday. Ravens 9-point favorites over the Denver Broncos. You got predictions, concerns? Are you confident? I think they're going to win. I'm not as confident as I was last week and they lost. Or I wasn't as confident. I'm not as confident as I was in Houston, who lost last night, which we'll get into as the show progresses. But now is your time. 410-583-1057. Corbin Burns, Anthony Santander, among others, have filed for free agency. No surprise there. Qualifying offers, I'm assuming, will be coming from the Orioles there, where, you know, either they take it, like Matt Wieters did famously a couple years back, or maybe 10 years ago, where he got 18 mil, or they decline, and if they sign elsewhere, then the Orioles get draft pick compensation. We'll talk about that. Matt Weirich later in the show. Terps off this weekend, college football. Back next week at Oregon. Oregon's at Michigan tomorrow. Get into that. Maryland basketball starts on Monday. And Nolan, I know you're a young guy. You were still in your single digits when Maryland was going to Sweet 16s and back-to-back Final Fours winning championships. But there was a time, say in 20, 21, 22, where the Terps were as big as the Ravens and the Orioles in regards to news cycle and fan interest. As we're about to tip off third season under Kevin Willard, your interest, not your expectations, your interest in Maryland basketball, men, is what? Here on this Featured Artist Friday.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ravens 9-point favorites taking on this Denver Broncos 5-3. Did you know, everybody, like we do with the Orioles every 6 months, that if the playoffs started today, which they don't, Ravens would go to Buffalo taking on the Bills. Again, playoffs don't start today. And yes, they'd probably be slight underdogs in that game. Or maybe not. Who knows? Let's get out to the phones. 410-583-1057 is the number. Jonas Schaefer from the Baltimore Banner. 11 o'clock. Find out what's going on with Lamar. Any illness here? Is it the knee? It's the back? We're not saying the Ravens aren't being honest with the injury report, but he hasn't practiced for 2 days. What's the method behind that madness? And the D-line injuries, that's something to really be worried about here moving forward. As Nnamdi Matabike is the only healthy D-lineman right now on the team. Let's go to Jason in East Baltimore. Jason, what's up?
My man, Bob Nolan, what's up?
What's going on, dude?
Man, I'm pretty optimistic that Lamar will play and we're going to beat the Broncos because we got to wash that nasty taste of that loss from the Browns out. But I called last Friday, Bob, and I told you, I remind you of that dog that used to chase me around the horse stable on Cassius Street. that these teams that lay down for everybody else, they play us hard, man, to the end. So I knew it was going to be a tough game. But just think about it. We lost to the Browns last year. Matter of fact, Deshaun Watson had his best game as a Cleveland Brown against us.
Lost it here. It was in Baltimore, too.
Yep. And we had Mike McDonald. We had Patrick Queen. We had Geno Stone. So what's the excuse then? And Kyle Hamilton made an interception and got a touchdown, too. So what I'm saying is it can happen any week. They beat us. We had to move on. But it was no shocker. I wasn't surprised. People was ready to jump off the bridge. But I wasn't because I know that's Cleveland's Super Bowl. They feel like we took their team. The whole spirit of the town can't stand the Ravens. So they'd be jacked up. They circle that game on their calendar, and, you know, they came out ready to play, and we underestimated them or we couldn't match their intensity. But this week, I think ain't no way we're going to lose to no rookie quarterback. I think we're going to get back to the basics. You're going to see a lot of Derrick Henry. But what surprised me last game was we do this pitch to Derrick Henry, and he run behind Pat Ricard to the outside. When we played the Browns, we only did that to the inside. They kept running Derrick Henry right into the defensive line. And I was like, why are they doing something different? They normally do that to the outside. They pitch it to the left or to the right, normally to the left where Stanley is, and Derrick Henry gets big gains. But this time, they kept running right up the middle.
Yeah.
But one last thing I want to say. When I saw Bateman drop that ball, I told my sons, I said, we're getting a receiver. I mean, Lamar shot his helmet like Steph Curry shooting a three-pointer. You seen him take his helmet and just shoot it on the ground.
Oh, two-hand shove, too.
I said, we got to get him a receiver because it ain't fair. I mean, you see guys like Josh Allen, they make sure he couldn't survive in Lamar's world a half a season. They got him a notable receiver. They just wouldn't got him Cooper, you know. Before then, he had Diggs. When he didn't have nobody, he struggled.
Yeah, but real quick, Jason, but Bateman prior to last Sunday had really been trending in a positive direction. All right, I'll give him the sun for the one that hit him in the face, but he dropped another one earlier in the game, too. So he had a couple of pretty bad drops in that one.
One thing to say, because I know you got other callers, but check this out. This is what Bateman is. You ever had a girl you kick it with and you can't put your finger on it while you don't make her your main girlfriend and you go out with it, she treats you so good? And it's finally she'll say something or do something to remind you why you really don't rock with her like that. She start talking about her old boyfriend or some guy at the job like her.
You're driving on Eastern Avenue by Patterson Bowling Alley and you see her holding hands with another dude and you yell out the window and go, "Hey, Vanessa!" And she sees you. No, I don't know what you're talking about.
and then you remember that's why I don't like her. And it was we got caught up with Bateman. He making these catches, he playing good, and then all of a sudden he dropped the ball and you say, that's the reason why I don't take this guy serious. I forgot. He just reminded me. That's why I can't trust you. Thanks for taking me, guys. Go Ravens. Let's get it.
All right, Jason. Thank you very much. And then all of a sudden, the girl that you saw holding hands starts banging on your door 2 days later, 11 o'clock at night. I mean, I'm just talking about this in like hypothetical situations, not like it really happened. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob, Haney, Nolan McGraw, if you're on the phones, you're next. You want to get in? Now's your chance. 410-583-1057. Ravens 9-point favorites against Denver. No Lamar Jackson, last 2 days of practice. However, is this just proceed with caution because you got a Sunday and Thursday game, or could they be more to the madness than we knew? Well, 8 weeks of the season, and the Ravens have the number one rush offense in the National Football League, and Derrick Henry has a lot to do with that. Maybe didn't go to him as much as they should have last week against Cleveland. But you know, Sean Payton's going to devise some things to take away a big play, big chunk opportunities for Derrick Henry. Now, if Lamar Jackson don't play, oh boy, things change. And I'll tell you what, all you got to do is pay attention to the line. The line tells you the story because they know. Last week, for instance, Chicago favored all week long against Washington. And then Sunday, the line flipped to 1 in favor of Washington. Reason being, Jayden Daniels was playing. Now, where did they get that intel from? Because from what I understood, he was barely walking through all week long. Then through the dramatic Hail Mary to win it. If the line changes between now and 1 o'clock from 9.5 to what's 9 now, Nolan, I'm guessing we'll know by later on this air. If Lamar's not practicing today, he's going to be doubtful, questionable at best. And if the line drops to like 3 or something crazy like that, he ain't playing.
I'm glad you brought it up because the line, that's the first thing I rushed to look at after hearing the news yesterday that Lamar wasn't out there. Because it's funny that that's the world we live in with how prevalent sports gambling is, but
right,
it is a pretty good indicator. And when you talk about a player of Lamar's caliber, I mean, any quarterback's going to move a line, like you said with Daniels last week. Any quarterback in the league will move a line, but Lamar more so than anybody. And we're talking about a pretty hefty one, around 8 or 9 right now. I'd imagine without him, could be down around 4 or 5. I mean, you could cut that in half if he's not out there, or even less than that. So a lot of factors at play with home field advantage and everything. But, yeah, as long as that's staying put around 8 or 9, I'm not going to panic.
Either way, if Lamar is playing at less than 100%, Derrick Henry still needs to be a focal point of this offense. And with all due respect to that Denver run defense, you start just wearing them down, pound, pound, pound. Sooner or later, they're going to crack. And it'll set up the play-action passes, and we'll see who Deontay Johnson replaces. And I know Chris Horton said yesterday that Tylan Wallace is still going to return punts because there's a lot of rust. We talked about it yesterday, Nolan, with Johnson in that area. But, you know, just utilize that battering ram, future Hall of Famer that you have, and let everything else take care. Let everything work from there, shall we say.
Right, and if you look at his stats from the last game, it doesn't tell the full story, but he was still averaging over 6 per carry. Again, more than half of his yards on the day came on that one long run that he had, and that changes the picture quite a bit. But I felt like they got away from him a little bit. Early in the second half, still a close game. Obviously, you weren't playing your best. You're trying to break out of a funk as fast as you can, and you feel like you got a pass to do that in today's game, but running the ball is what you do best. You've got a future Hall of Famer in Derrick Henry. Lamar Jackson, he's no slouch running the ball either. Heck, Justice Hill, he'll get you some yards in the screen game. So just felt like they were very uncharacteristic, unlike themselves against
the Browns.
And also,
Keaton Mitchell was a full participant in practice yesterday, as well as his window to return starts to close. And we'll talk to Jonas Schaefer about that coming up at 11 o'clock. Another thing to keep an eye on, we'll get into stats later. Denver gets to the quarterback. What, they second in the NFL in sacks?
They're up there.
That might be another reason to run the football a little bit more. Let's get out to the phones. 410-583-1057 is the number. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. Maryland's off in football. Maryland basketball starts Monday. Men, both men and women, but men. taking on the Manhattan Jaspers. Not your prediction for Maryland hoops, just your interest level. Because 20 years ago plus, they were bigger than the Orioles. Seriously. Locally, we could do an hour of Maryland basketball talk. Now it's like, who's on the team again? Then again, there are people who do sports talk for a living I couldn't name. Hey, I'm popping off right now. Let's go to Rashawn in Baltimore. Rashawn, what's up?
What's up, Bob?
How you doing, dude?
Not much, man. Friday's finally here.
Oh, yeah.
Me and my boy Lorenzo, man, you know, we got our annual Dallas Cowboy guys trip, man. You know, we taking down to Atlanta this weekend. Yeah, to see how Cowboys get beat. So, you know.
Are they live dogs? Or, I mean, they're getting, what, 2.5, I think it is? I don't know. I'm not, you know, I got no dog in the fight with the Cowboys, Rashawn, as you know. Well, 3.5. Oh, wow, the line's changed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. No Parsons again?
Yeah, no Parsons.
They were kind of, and Diggs and Parsons apparently didn't even mention Dak when they were talking about the top quarterbacks in the league. I mean, who knows what's going on there.
Yeah, the Cowboys could have saved a bunch of money, man, and just went and picked up Joe Flacco or Jameis Winston, man. You know, and saved about, you know, $69 million. But, hey, you know, I ain't called to talk about that franchise. I came to talk about the other franchise that has a real GM, you know.
There you
the
go.
The Baltimore Ravens.
What's
yeah,
up?
Yeah. But I'm a little nervous, man, if Lamar can't play. With this Johnson guy, you know, I know he's a veteran. He's been around the league a long time, man, but if Lamar can play, I'd say he just run the ball down their throat. Now, I heard Denver don't have a good run defense and everything like that. You know, just don't put Johnson in a situation we have to do too much and anything. And as far as Nix and whatever they call his name is, the quarterback.
Bo Nix. Rookie of the month offensively in the NFL.
Man, listen, the one game I seen him play, he threw for 60 yards, you know. So that was that Jets game when it was like 9-7 or something like that. So,
and it was like negative yards at halftime, if I'm not
yeah,
mistaken.
It was something crazy, you know. But he's a rookie quarterback. The Ravens normally don't lose the rookie quarterbacks unless it's Mitch Trubisky. You remember that game in overtime 2017
oh, yeah.
when the Bears came here, they beat us, you know. But other than that, just blitz the guy. Blitz the hell of the guy, man. You know, dial up some blitz packages, you know, get him a little rattled a little bit. And just walk away with a win. It might be an ugly win, but, you know, I don't believe in the Broncos. They 5-3, but this team is not really a playoff team, in my opinion. They do have a great coach, you know, a great leader and everything.
And look, after that loss last week, Rashawn, and thanks for the call. Have a safe trip to Atlanta. Just take your win. If it's a beautiful win, that's great. Just take the win. Because then you got a short week. Cincinnati's coming in here, and they're reeling. And who knows? They got, what, the Raiders coming up. And they're going to, if they win, then they're going to try to get to 500 with a win on national TV. Last time Joe Burrow was here, he got hurt. If you beat Denver 3-0, I'm sure we'll be complaining about most of it on Monday. But just take the W. If you're on the phones, hang tight. We'll get you when we come back. 410-583-1057. Baltimore Banner, Jonas Schaefer, 11 o'clock. Whip around left 15. And talk about the start of that Maryland basketball season with Keith Kavanaugh from TerrapinTimes.com. Different look for Kevin Willard. That's great. Can they put the ball in the basket? That's a key one. And they were asking me, do we have a Justin Tucker problem? I said, no. Now, is he automatic? Is he the best kicker in football? I think you can make an argument he's not. Harrison Butker in Kansas City. Chris Boswell, Pittsburgh. Daniel Carlson, Vegas. Aubrey in Dallas. There are a lot of guys that can compete now, especially from distance. How about old Fairbairn missing 2 field goals yesterday? Jerk. I don't mean that personally. I mean from a fantasy football perspective. He's right. I don't care about your stupid team. But you get the point. And we thought Tucker was back, air quotes, because he had made the big one against Cincinnati and then banged one against Tampa. It's like, all right, we're good. Whatever mechanical problems he had have been straightened out. And then last week, he was all out of whack. And Chris Horton, as you said, as you just heard him say, I mean, working internally through some things, and they're going to work as a tandem team to get it together because, you know, you play close games in the playoffs and down the stretch, and Justin Tucker's won a lot of these games for you. Let's not forget the Mile High Miracle. When Flacco hit Jacoby Jones, rest in peace, Jacoby. Tucker's the one to kick the game-winning field goal in overtime as a rookie. And he's got the record for the longest field goal ever against Detroit a few seasons back. Is he what he was in his prime? It's not like he's 40, by the way. But we've seen, I don't know what to say. Nice guy, hell of a guy, a fan favorite. Going in the Ring of Honor and probably going into Canton when it's all said and done. But I don't think we're in, getting back to DEF CONs. I don't think we're DEF CON 1. I don't even think we're in DEF CON yet. But we're observing the situation. Ravens 9-point favorites hosting the Broncos. Lamar hasn't practiced for the last couple of days. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, featured artist Friday. It's Kenny Loggins. Let's go to Brian in Owings Mills. Brian, thanks for holding. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, Bob, man? I miss Vinny, so I'm going to say this for Vinny because he's out. Bob, Stout sucked last night. Oh, my God. He was throwing guys over 5 or 10 yards. He just looked bad out there. He had 4 seconds in the pocket, Bob. Just looked bad. You're not going to tell me it's all digs, Bob.
What it is.
Hey, man, I just want to say, I want to give a shout out to my man Ed Narbutus. I love him. And that Jason, man, I love that guy, man. He truly is the gifted gab when he calls the show, man. I really entertain when he calls, man. But Hamilton still stinks. I'm sorry. He's no Ed Reed. Ed Reed makes that play, brother. Yeah, Ed Reed was drafted 24. Brian, your pick at 14.
Kyle Hamilton makes that pick 9 out of 10 times. He dropped it 3 times on one play.
Ed Reed makes it on the first throw.
I got you.
I'm going to do you, Bob. Ed Reed makes it on the first catch. I'm sorry. You picked at 14. That's 4 spots in the top 10. Should have made the catch. I'm sorry. No excuses. Especially when Ed Reed is the measuring stick. No way. He makes it on the first try because he's just that damn good. But anyway, Josh Johnson, I think we'll be okay. He's got a quick release. That's what I like about him. He's a pocket quarterback. He's going to get rid of the ball a lot faster because he doesn't have mobility. That's probably the reason why. You know, he's good at reading defenses too, man. So, and we just got to run the ball and let's just not get cute with it. Let's just play simple and exactly. Ball, just don't kill the game for it. Just look stupid like you always do and don't do anything else. Have a good weekend, Bob.
All right, Brian. Thank you very much. So Harbaugh looks stupid and Kyle Hamilton sucks. Basically the gist of that. And Josh Johnson's good at reading defenses. He is kind of statuesque. And by the way, Lamar hasn't practiced 2 days. We'll get the injury report in regards to possible game statuses later. I think he's playing. But yeah, it's a talking point for sure.
Oh, it's a huge talking point. And I mean, let's not dance around it. If Lamar doesn't play and it's Josh Johnson out there, the Ravens stand no chance. I don't care.
No chance?
I don't care that they're at home.
The
defense, it's a sieve. As the team is constructed right now, it's all on Lamar's shoulders. He's got to go out there and put up points, and then when the defense doesn't get a stop, he's got to go out there and be Superman again. And he's done it to win games time and time again. If you don't have that, it's over. You can't rely on the defense to win the game. And Derrick Henry, I love him, but unless you're going to give him the ball 40 times.
Doesn't Denver's defense kind of suck, though? I mean, I don't know.
Depends how you look at it.
Bo Nix was the rookie of the month offensively, and congratulations to him. And he's mobile, which could pose some problems. And if you have a statuesque Josh Johnson, again, we don't know if he's playing. I think Lamar will be playing. They've got 30 sacks. So, I mean, that could be Problemo City, but I don't think the defense is going to be worrying. I don't know. I don't want to make proclamations, but no chance. I think they have a very good chance. 9-point better chance? Well, that's another story.
Not at all. All right. Not even close.
All right. We have time for a call or no?
Yeah, we'll get Tony.
Let's go get Tony in Rosedale. Tony, what's up?
What's going on, Bob?
How you doing?
Y'all ain't tell me I'm going to go out here Sunday and maybe see a Willis Reed moment.
Oh, yeah.
Introduced to Lamar and he's hobbling or whatever.
Yeah, and not to mention defensively, like outside of Matty BK, all their D linemen are hurt right now.
Okay. Well, I want to talk about this defense and Zach Orr and these people calling for his head. And I'm not saying he's the next coming of Buddy Ryan or anybody, but number one, last year when they decided to sit Geno Stone on the bench, because Marcus Williams was returning when he was leading the league in interceptions. That was a personnel decision, and then that let Geno walk. Number two, all season, all I heard was this linebacker Simpson. He's ready to step right in and take over from Patrick Queen. Can you recall a game this year where he stood out and did all these things that we saw Patrick Queen do lined up next to Roquan Swift? And I think, you know, Roquan's game has went down because he don't have Patrick Queen.
I don't know about that. Roquan was an all-pro level guy before he came to Baltimore. But your point is taken. Trenton Simpson, he hasn't been embarrassing by any stretch, but has he been impactful? Nah. Roquan, for that matter.
Maybe it's because he don't have Patrick Queen next to him. That's what I'm saying.
But Patrick Queen's not lighting the world on fire in Pittsburgh. Right. We had the Bengals guy on 2 days ago, and Geno Stone apparently has been terrible for them this year.
Well, maybe they were good here, and when you go to these other places, they do the Hardwell syndrome or whatever. And finally, Jadavious Clowney wasn't brought back, and he had a big impact on that defense. The point I'm making is some of these decisions that was made by, you know, the front office or whatever, not to bring guys back and to go with these guys, I think had a bigger impact on his defense than they bargained for.
Well, we could see Jadavion Clowney, Tony. Thanks for the call. And hopefully see you Sunday down at the Brew Brothers Horseshoe Casino for Baltimore Game Day Uncensored, brought to you by Rice Method for Source, starting at 10 o'clock. You know, hopefully we could see Clowney back Tuesday, because the trade deadline is Tuesday at 4 o'clock. Ravens are going to get a pass rusher. We were talking about yesterday with a caller, one of our loyal callers, about the Deontay Johnson. You know, why don't we get defensive things? And, you know, we're preaching patience. We're here Wednesday at this time, and they didn't acquire anybody defensively, and that's the only move they made? Then we can start running hot. We'll come back. Jonas Schaefer, Baltimore Banner. What's up with Lamar Jackson? Does the defensive line have enough people to play against the Denver Broncos? And what's the worrisome thing about Bo Nix?
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.